This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, November 21st. Well, apologize again for missing yesterday's podcast. This cold has really taken a big bite out of me, so I'm on the mend, but it's been a slow go. But taking a look at these markets over the last couple sessions, we see the market in wheat just continuing to drift lower. We've got Chicago back down to the major lows from a couple months ago. Kansas City is into new lows, and Minneapolis basically is retesting a double bottom. So it's, at the moment, hovering at a potential triple bottom, which is not a good sign. Kind of a general theory is that triple bottoms and tops don't hold. So the wheat market just struggling to get anything going on the upside, and the downside seems to be just a slow bleed across the wheat space. Corn has been pacing sideways, more of a choppy type of price action. It is being caught up in the activity of the soybean complex, which clearly has an upward trajectory to it. It's had some corrections, but there are some things going on in the soy space that are underpinning this market significantly. Yesterday, we started out lower in soybeans. Market ended up with a big outside day higher. Soybeans, of course, have the weather issue in Brazil, which has been way, way hot across the key soybean growing areas of central and northern Brazil, and it's been very dry. So now they are getting some rains, but it's not as much as what last week's forecast had had projected. So we're getting some spotty rains. There are going to be some areas that miss out completely, it looks like. It's cooling down a bit, but then behind this event, which is supposed to end by the end of this week, it's going to bring back to warm and dry conditions again. And then 2 weeks down the road, there are some hints that more rains would come in. It's not completely reliable 2 week in the forecast, but still, the bottom line is that farmers have been waiting for rain for weeks now. They're behind in soybean plantings, and what they do get now pushes them into a significant question. You know, do they replant soybeans to get a better stand, or just stick what they have and go with it and have a corn crop? If they replant, they're pretty much going to give up having a second season corn crop. Now, that's critical because, you know, they're a major world supplier, and it all comes from that second season crop. So this is what's starting to perk up the corn market, you know, at least give it some attention here. But for now, the focus of the market is on soybeans. Now you have a new president coming into Argentina who has promised to change things significantly. He wants to scrap the peso and wants to go to the U.S. dollar, which is impressive, in an effort to stamp out inflation. So farmers have always been very slow sellers in Argentina because of the inflation problem. There have been programs that have allowed them to convert pesos to dollars directly, and that has stimulated sales and helped generate revenue for the government. So, you know, farmers are just going to shut off all sales of beans and corn until they get a better idea of what these new economic programs are going to be and if they're even going to pass. So that's, I think, going to really disrupt flow out of Argentina. Now, they pretty much crush all their soybeans, and so they export the products. This is what's really driving, part of what's driving soy meal markets higher. It's pulling soybeans higher. But beans had a very impressive reversal up yesterday. Even with the minor rains coming into Brazil, I think this disruption that is going to be showing up out of Argentina is just adding another element of bullishness to a bean market that, frankly, had plenty already. Domestic demand here in the United States for biodiesel is huge. We've got plants being built left and right. The demand base is just going to continue to expand. And that has been underpinning the soy complex in itself. And now you've got Brazil on the cusp of a potential significant reduction in production. So, you know, soybeans, as so often we see them, are on the cusp of something big. But if the rains start coming, then you pretty much have quashed the market. Last year was a similar story. I think it's important to keep in mind. It was dry, dry, dry in Brazil until we got into December, and then all of a sudden the spigots turned on and they had way more rain than normal during December. So we don't see that in the forecast, at least in the early part of December, but we just want to be cognizant that, you know, if it at some point we may run out of gas up here. But for now, the market looks very well supported and has given us a really nice buy signal yesterday. In crop progress reports from yesterday afternoon, we got winter wheat plantings at 95%, Kansas 98%, Montana's at 99%. Nationwide, Porta Very Poor is sitting at 17%, which is equal to last week, but it's down 16 from a year ago. Good to Excellent is sitting at 48%, which is up 1 on the week and up 16 over a year ago. When we break down the by class condition ratings for hard red winter wheat, we're at 20% Porta Very Poor, 44% Good to Excellent. In Kansas, we're at 32% Porta Very Poor, Texas 20%, Oklahoma 11%, Montana's just at 5% Porta Very Poor. In the Good to Excellent, we've got Kansas at 33%, Colorado's at 61%, Nebraska 54%, Oklahoma 44%, South Dakota 53%, Texas 45%, Montana's at 58% Good to Excellent. Soft red winter wheat, we're at 5% Poor to Very Poor and 67% Good to Excellent. So they're sitting in great shape so far. It's hard red winter wheat, the southern plains, especially the western half of the plains, which had started out looking pretty decent. Then we ran into a dry stretch. So that's really what's dragging down all crop condition ratings. Now we're headed into dormancy. You know, we'll see, but you know, we're in much better shape than we were a year ago. And most of what wheat yields will be are determined in the spring. So we're not in terrible shape headed into winter. Could be better, but we're certainly better than we were a year ago. Corn harvest is at 93% complete. So, you know, we're pretty much wrapping it up there too. So moving forward, I think really, you know, it's going to be a quiet week. It's a holiday. Usually this week tends to be a low volume week. You can get some squirrely price action on this low volume. I expect Friday will be very quiet. It'll be an hour shorter session than normal, about hour 15 shorter. So, you know, we don't expect a lot of activity on Friday. So most of what's going to happen will be today and tomorrow. You know, the weather in Brazil is the driver. And other than that, I think we're going to be fairly quiet as far as wheat and corn go. You know, from a seasonal perspective, normally we put in some highs by now in the fall run. We didn't get that at all for wheat. I think that, you know, as we work our way into the winter, the Black Sea is going to have more trouble moving grain, especially Ukraine, which does not have, you know, the export capacity that Russia does. But even still, you'll start to see things slow down coming out of the Black Sea. In for corn, you know, we're pretty much going to be the only game in town for a while. And for soybeans, that's going to likely be the case too. So I think during the winter, we've got much better potential to see demand perk up here for U.S. grains. And we should be able to see the wheat market in particular start to move higher. My guess is it's probably going to be targeting that early February high, which is a normal seasonal pattern. We don't expect to see a lot of competition from the Southern Hemisphere because both Argentina and Australia had poor crops this year. So we should see demand really start to improve for U.S. grain and in wheat in particular as we work our way through the winter. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This is Ben Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.